Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. Happy Thanksgiving and now Merry Christmas. We are in December and joining us today to talk about this past Sunday's message is Roger and Holly Hart. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
So what do you guys do here at the church?
We oversee all the student ministries.
Yeah.
So super fun, from 0 to 18. Yep. Roger works more with the high schoolers.
Yep.
We got Bill and Nicole Maida, mm-hmm. who work very closely with the junior high. And then I do a lot of the kids, mostly elementary age. We have a great volunteer team that does everything with us, and we're super blessed.
I get to be the high school pastor and also part of the missions team with Global Missions.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been so great, even just for me personally, getting to serve with you guys in United. But I love how the heartbeat of our church is for the next generation. Mm. And there isn't this sense of, we have to hang on to our positions now and we're not going to relinquish until we have gray hairs and we're almost in the grave. There's this sense of we are so excited to pass on to the next generation and see them released into their gifting.
Yeah, absolutely. So true.
And so thankful that we have a group of youth and teens coming up that are ready to take it. You're not looking for who wants to do this or can anybody. We have teens who are jumping in and
they're super ambitious,
not just able but anointed.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're very encouraging of one another, which mm-hmm. is very rare among high schoolers.
There isn't
really that sense of competition. There's a sense of we all want to succeed and I want to see you succeed for the Lord.
I just want to say we love having you be a part of it, dude. You're such a blessing to the ministry, and dude, we love it, man. We have so much fun, and we're so glad that you come out and do everything that you do.
Thanks for that encouragement. I absolutely love it, and it is
so
great
good.
Getting to work with the kids. It's a true privilege.
It is.
And we should probably let your listeners know that you're like one of the last ones to leave on a Friday night.
That's true. Oh. That's true. You are.
Luke likes to close down the party.
You never know what's going to happen at the end. That's where all the fun is. It's the after party.
It's true.
Okay?
The after party.
We come for the party, stay for the after party.
It's true, dude.
That's where all the fun stuff happens. So just reflecting over this past summer, what were some highlights from student ministry?
Oh, man. I would say I'll kick that off with the mission trips. We sent, I don't know how many teens to Mexico and Moldova, and that was a highlight for me just because my heart is really big for missions, and to see a lot of students go out and come back changed and just amped for what God's doing overseas was really, really cool.
Amen.
For me, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, we did Camp Clear, which was such a great
camps.
Time. So our junior high and senior high all went out to camp and took time away from their phones and really just pressed into the Lord and also had a ton of fun. We did Water Whiz and what was the one that Crown went to? It wasn't Water Whiz.
Oh, I don't know.
Somebody's yelling at us right now. I can't remember who.
That's awesome.
But some.
We also did VBS, which a lot of the teens helped out with that and served. And we just finished the late nighter event, which was a pretty awesome success. We have 700 kids.
What was so cool to me about the late nighter was seeing all of the volunteers from the church serve team coming out to support the youth group.
Yeah, it was incredible.
I mean, that's cool to you, but even all the other churches were this is such an incredible team. And I hope that our teens feel that supported and that loved that.
Yeah.
You had 30 security team members, another 20 plus hospitality team members all come out to
support that event. Mm-hmm. It was incredible.
Super, super awesome.
Thank you. If you came out that night, thank you guys so much for serving that night with us.
And speaking of serving, children's ministry is always a place where we are looking for more able-bodied and called, spirit-filled mm-hmm. Christians to come serve. So Holly, what are some areas of need and how can people go about putting their names forward if they're feeling that stirring in their heart?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked. We're always looking for more volunteers like that. Very many hands make light work. It's so true. We do have about 350 kids every Sunday morning with us in the back.
Wow.
So if it feels quiet, it feels a little loud in the sanctuary. Just imagine how it is back there with us. It's a good time. It's loud. It's fun. It's energetic. But there is so many opportunities. So some people just come in and serve mm-hmm. as a helper. Some people actually teach a class. And we have from nursery to Crown Age. So our junior high also meet on Sunday morning. So if somebody was interested in serving, during a service, it's usually one time a month that they would end up serving. So not a huge commitment because we want to make sure that people are also being fed.
And what about prep? What about prep? What's involved for them as far as prep if they were to come in and teach?
Okay, so that's actually a great question. Yes. I'm going to respond in two ways. One is if you love to just sit and cut crafts and prep a lesson as far as all the materials and pour snacks for the kids' classes, that happens on Thursday mornings here. There's a team of like maybe 6 to 10 ladies that just cut crafts and make everything super simple so that if you chose to teach, you just literally grab a bin and it's all ready for you, like a plug and play kind of thing.
Wow.
So there's two opportunities to serve. Yeah. You could teach or you could also join that group of ladies and help cut craft. Diana Korsakov oversees that and she gives them all the material they need and they get to it.
That is awesome.
Yeah, if you come and you just have a, if you love Jesus and you love kids, you can't mess it up. So don't be afraid to step into it if the Lord's moving your heart. And that 300 kids, is that just elementary or is that junior high and senior high as well? Or
not senior high.
Okay, that's just junior high.
That's like zero
and elementary.
To 12.
0 to 12, 300 and some kids. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So ask the Lord if you're supposed to come out and be a part of that, because it's incredible. You'll definitely get more than you'll get more out of it than the kids do, for sure, if you're teaching or helping with a class.
Definitely.
Amen. Well, thanks for sharing that. Super exciting. This is a great church to be a kid at, I gotta say.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Now moving into big church, big adult church. We've had two awesome Sundays, and we're not gonna talk about both of them, but I just wanted to call your attention back to the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Pastor Zach preached on David and how he realized he was called to be king.
Yeah.
And from that, like, we too are to realize that we are called into a royal priesthood, that we are royal, and we are called to create covenants. We have covenantal authorship, in a sense, in our role as God's royal priesthood. And that idea of covenants also plays into this past Sunday, which is why I just wanted to bring that up. So then this past week, we heard from Pastor Zach preaching out of 2 Peter 3. So Roger, if you could just read that passage again from us, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10 till the end.
But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Keep going.
Yeah.
Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them. Of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
Amen. This is actually one of my favorite passages in Scripture.
Really?
Because it's when we talk about, I'll just highlight it really quick, but Peter talks about how people twist what Paul is, like Paul has written, and they say that that wayward men, they twist this as they do other parts of Scripture. Mm. When people talk about the inspiration of Scripture, they asked, like, did the early church recognize, like, did Peter and Paul recognize that they were writing scripture? From that verse, Peter is saying that what Paul is writing in his letters is to be held up as scripture, just as the Old Testament.
Wow.
So it's important that we understand that the early church was recognizing that the Holy Spirit was inspiring Paul, inspiring Peter to write these words.
Mm-hmm.
And so really as we talk about it, we have to have that weightiness and that knowledge in our hearts. So Holly, what were your thoughts on the message?
Yeah, I love when he's talking about looking towards heaven and keeping our eyes focused on heaven. It also reminds me of that verse, like, the things that earth will grow. Or not verse. Yes. No, it's a hymn. It's a hymn. Turn your eyes to heaven, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. He's kind of reflecting on that as we are looking towards heaven. If that's where our heart is and our focus is. Oh, that was the other thing that Pastor Jack said. Our hearts are in what your eyes are on. And that really hit me, because whatever we're focused on is going to be what our heart beats for. And if our eyes are focused on the eternal Savior and Jesus, then our eyes are going to be on him, if that's really where our heart is.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, going off of that, I was talking to some of the boys, the high school boys, before I came in here to record with you guys. And I jumped in on Jamal's class that he has with the high school boys, where they talk about manhood and all of that. And we were, what came up was the verse where Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Because we have this tendency to look to people. But if you pay attention to what Paul says there, he's saying, you really have to know what Jesus looks like. Yeah. And then only follow those parts of me that reflect Jesus. And so whatever our eyes are on is what we will reproduce. And that was something that stood out to me from what Pastor Zach said. And speaking back on you know, children's ministry, that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Because we have this generation coming up behind us. And that there's been so many times the Lord's worked in me and caused me to come more into alignment with how he wants me to live when I think of the kids that watch me and the kids that look up to me.
Yeah, and even I think it leads well into the next part where he was talking about being spotless and blameless. Mm-hmm. And if you're so focused on the spot that you have or so focused on those things, that they look bigger, you can get overwhelmed by them. But when your eyes are focused on heaven, those things tend to fall off. That's where you see the spotless and blameless, when your eyes are more turned towards him than on the spot.
Yeah, and Pastor Zach said, you know, talking about spotless, that he highlighted how what that means is it's without vice, without, but not accepting or agreeing with the things from the enemy, because Satan is going to accuse us. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. He's the accuser. So he's always going to hold up our past and our weaknesses and say, yeah, this is who you are. Like, how can you say that this isn't part of you? This is totally part of you. You did that. Mm. You have a tendency to do that.
Yeah.
To be this way. But we are not to agree with those things from the enemy. And that's what Christ calls us to. Again, his blood covers us. We have grace.
Right. No, I love that. And it's cool because he's saying, make every effort to be found without spot or blemish in his sight, at peace. And I feel like the at peace is really beautiful because, he's challenging us and calling us to a higher place. Make every effort to be found without spot or blemish in the sight of the Lord, right? And it's actually challenging us to shoot for the highest place, you know? Like, obviously, none of us are perfect. We're all humans, right? But God's calling us to a higher place and to like, don't just settle. Mm-hmm. The world says, it's okay, you're human, or it's part of your character, or it's this or that. And so it's okay for you to fall into these things and to have these addictions or these character traits that you know are not really godly. But it's almost like tempting us with the comfort and excuse of living with junk in our lives. But the Lord's calling us to a higher place.
And when we walk in that, and when we go for that, maybe I even say strive for those, that greatness in the Lord's sight, we actually can walk in peace. Absolutely. Because you have a clean conscience.
Yeah.
Because we have a conscience that gets defiled by living in sin. We get defiled by giving in to temptation, right? Because the world around us is saying that it's okay, you know? Well, you're not perfect anyway, so you should just give in, mm-hmm. right? And that's tickling our ears, right? And it's tempting yep. us, but he's clearly saying, no, go for the gold. Like, rid yourself of all junk.
Yes.
Don't yeah. settle for anything, right? I love that. That's what, my favorite part of it. But
yeah, and I love that when he was talking about how there's a ditch of grace on one side and a ditch of knowledge on the other. Mm-hmm. And the one of knowledge is usually one that's going to be judgmental. Mm-hmm. And then the one of grace is usually the one that's going to be tickling the ears to say, oh, that's okay. Don't worry mm-hmm. about it. It's totally fine.
Right.
I get, like, we have grace for that. We love you still. And yes, there's still love in those places. Mm-hmm. But the verse that always comes to my mind is when Jesus is sitting with the woman at the well and he calls out her sin. And yeah. yet she still feels loved. Mm-hmm. Yet she's like, you have to meet Jesus. He's like nobody else. Like, she feels loved and she meets him, mm-hmm. even though he does not. He's extending grace, but right. not accepting of what she's done. He's still calling it out. And it's yeah. just like a perfect road between yeah.
a the good grace father.
And the knowledge. Like, hey, not the knowledge is that this is wrong.
Yeah.
The grace is, I still love you and I'm still
yeah.
here for you.
It's really beautiful. And I love that too, because it's like a father disciplines the child that he loves, right? And it's like, if I care about you, I'm going to call you out when I see you doing something destructive, right? Not mm-hmm. because it's easy for me to do that. It's actually right. really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's because I love you so much. I'm going to say, hey, man, do you really think you should be doing this? Or, you know, but he, like Jesus in that situation calls her out of love. Yeah. And she received it that way too, you know? I just want to tag this last part in too. It says, therefore, dear friends, at the end of the chapter, therefore, dear friends, since you know this in advance, be on your guard so that you're not led away by the error of lawless people and fall from your own stable position. And I feel like this is really, really cool, because first off, he's saying you're in a stable position.
Right.
And then he's saying, don't be led astray by these teachings that are twisted and unstable. In 16, and he's saying, you know, they'll twist it to their own destruction. And it's funny, because I feel like the flip side of what Holly just said is the grace is given to us to live with purity.
Yeah.
In mm-hmm. righteousness, right? And you know, the knowledge piece for me, I think of a lot of teaching that comes out of this very educated theological place that says, mm-hmm. oh, well, you know, and it twists it to the point where it allows us to walk in unrighteousness. It makes it okay to sin. It right. makes it okay to give up and mm-hmm. to live lackadaisically, spiritually and morally, right?
Right.
And there's
right.
a lot of that, you know, going on in some circles where it's teaching you that it's okay to be lazy spiritually. It's okay.
Right. Well, that
it's,
was
it's calling you to a lower place. It's saying, oh, right. just relax. Right. Don't be so spiritual. It's okay to mess up all the time. It's okay to give in to these temptations. It's okay to, because God still loves you. It's true, God still loves you, but you're actually missing out on the peace part that he talks about in verse 14, where if you go for it, if you try to achieve the living without spot or blemish, you'll be at peace. You know what I mean? And
right.
we're missing yeah. that peaceful place. But I don't know. I get pretty amped about it.
Well, and that was something that they were dealing with in the early church too, because you'll see that in Paul's writing. I think it's in Romans, but where he's talking about grace, and he explains grace, and we're going back to that two ditch thing, where people were saying, like, well, if it's all grace, well then why not just go on sinning right. then? And then there's going to be even more grace to cover my sin, because
yeah.
you know, it's like, wow, look at this. Like, mm-hmm. God covers me. I can do what I want. And he says, no, surely not. Because an evidence of our heart being transformed and the Holy Spirit living inside of us is mm-hmm. the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. which yeah. leads to self-control, which leads us to have a desire to live in the way that God calls us to live. And now it's a process. We're not there overnight, but that's where grace comes in. We have the grace to grow in knowledge and then also more grace, right? So there's grace upon grace upon grace.
Totally.
And one thing that Zach said that really struck me is, you know, he brought up the concept that, you know, like, we don't become perfect for God.
Yeah.
Right.
We are growing in this way to live in the way of Jesus because of the people that are around us.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
It says God doesn't need you to be perfect. I'm
it's true.
It's
so good.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so
true. It's really, really good. It's really good. One thing that I felt that stuck out to me that I just came to mind was when he was saying, you know, doing things for people when we should be doing them for the Lord.
Yeah.
And, it's like, you think about that when you're teaching people and you love people so deeply, you think, I'm doing this so that people can experience the goodness and love of God, right? But then he challenged me with that thought of saying, no, are you doing it for people to experience the love of God, or are you doing it for God to get back what he already paid for, almost? You know, it's like kind of semantics a little bit, but it was an interesting thought to say, oh, I wonder if I changed my perspective to say, hey, God, like, how do you want me to go about doing this and serving others so that you can have your way rather than people experiencing your goodness? Because that comes naturally when you get close to the Lord. You taste and you see that the Lord is good. But I don't know. That was a that's perspective shift.
No, that's a perspective shift that I've had to, that I had to grow in. I remember like growing into that, because that fleshly part of us, and especially like, I'll just speak for myself, there's a tendency to, I want to do a good job, and I want people to like how I minister, to like what I say, to like what I do.
Sure.
But when you minister from that place, it really, it's self-defeating, because you feel terrible after, because, you know, anything that's done out of manipulation, you'll know it's not fruitful. It's not right. Like, the Lord can still use it, but you as the minister will not benefit from that.
Yeah.
And I've found that, when I see myself as partnering with the Holy Spirit, and any room that I go into, any person that I talk to is like, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you doing here? What is it that you would have me say?
Yeah.
Then anything I do is out of obedience to him. And then people's reaction to that, that's their reaction. And I'm no longer a slave to their reaction.
Mm. Yeah.
Because sometimes people receive
what
you do through the Spirit in love and grace, but other times, you know, when we do spiritual things, there's spiritual reactions, and sometimes people respond out of, you know, the condition of their heart in not so nice ways. But when you have that confidence knowing that you were obeying the Spirit, it's like it releases you from serving their reaction.
It's good. Really good.
So just to summarize, peace is the product of choosing spotlessness and blamelessness. So spotless, without vice, not accepting or agreeing with the things from the enemy. So again, Jesus died and he put the accuser to shame.
Yeah.
And then blameless, having no appearance of evil. Again, you know, when we walk in the way of Jesus, we shine as lights in the world. You know, that's what the scriptures say. And we live in a world of darkness. And to do that, you really have to come out of agreement with, I think, the tendency of wanting people to like you. And I this is just fresh in my mind because of that conversation I was having with the high school boys before I came in. Growing up, a thing that I struggled with a lot was I wanted friends. And I really wanted people to like me. But the downside of that was sometimes I would tailor my response or my presentation to people depending on who I was with. And again, when you live from that place, you can get people to like you, but it leaves you feeling with a sense of, well, who am I?
Yeah.
And inauthentic.
So, and by walking in this blameless way, walking the way Jesus calls you to walk, regardless of what people think, it brings with it a sense of wholeness and integrity, which is peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good, because you don't get peace from living in sin and lowering your standards. You don't walk in peace. You feel unstable. You feel unsettled in your spirit. And I teach it to teens a lot. It's like, they come with questions and wanting advice. Well, should I do this or should I do that? Or this is what's going on in my life. How should I, which way should I go? And a lot of times I try to break it down and just say, where do you feel peace? Mm-hmm. Follow your peace. Yeah. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Where is he in the situation? And go that way. And because you don't have to talk yourself into feeling peace. You just have it, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that he's saying it. It comes naturally, and he's saying it's possible, which is cool.
And he was also talking, Pastor Zach was also mentioning how a lot of times when you're in those storms or trying to figure out what should I do, which way is this, which way is that, that's when you are the closest with God. That's when your eyes are the most on him. That's when you're focusing and praying and leaning in and pressing in, trying to listen. God, give me guidance or direction.
It's true. It's really true.
And those are the times that we find ourselves the closest to the Lord. And so many of those things, the Lord's just, I believe he's just leaving there or lingering there just to be close to us because he desires that relationship. And it does bring us so much peace when when we're following and walking with him and listening and being obedient in those places.
It's good. It's really the focus, you know. And I love that he even shared from, you know, his personal, like, hey, you know what? I'm not always doing all this quote unquote spiritual things I should be. I'm not always praying and fasting and seeking the Lord in everything. And he shared, you know, and I suffer from that. Like my decisions, I recognize it shortly after. I'm like, wow. Like, but when I am in the presence of the Lord, I'm seeking the Lord, I'm praying and I'm spending that quiet time with the Lord. You know, that's when I see the fruit of it in my life. Mm-hmm. And so it's really almost black and white when you're spending time with the Lord and seeking the Lord and all of those things, you see the fruit of it. And when you're not, you see the fruit of it.
Right.
Which is cool that the Lord allows us to see very, very, very real circumstances like that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And, you know, I want to highlight something about what the word peace means. There's a really cool video on YouTube. It's the Bible Project, and you can just say Bible Project and peace. And they do a word study on peace in the Old and the New Testament. And what that word indicates, it's more than just a feeling. It has it brings with it a meaning of something being put back together the right way, in the same way that you have a broken wall. And then we put the wall back together.
Yeah.
It is now restored. It is at peace.
Hmm.
And Satan, I think, would rather us just think of peace as like this calm feeling when it is so much more than that. Because so many times when you're praying for peace in your life, it's almost like, well, how come it's like all of a sudden things are less peaceful now that I've asked the Lord to move in this situation? And it's because he is at work in moving those pieces around.
That's good.
He's at work bringing a restoration to the situation. And for that, things have to die. And Pastor Zach mentioned that.
Right.
You know, like there are covenants that we've made, which you can think of a covenant as maybe it's a lie that you have believed and you've come into agreement about yourself, about others, about a situation that is not of God. That is not in line with his word. And so you have to break that.
Mm.
You have to come out of that. And that is often not a peaceful, calm thing to do.
Right. Yeah. Dude, that's such a great analogy. And I think about recently I was restoring these like 250-year-old rock walls. And they'd gotten hit by a truck. A truck had backed into them and knocked some of the larger stones down, which crumbled the wall. And I didn't just have to put those back. I had to actually take the wall apart and rebuild it from the ground up. I had to take back even rocks that weren't fully knocked out of place, but to make the other ones fit properly, I had to restore the wall.
Right.
And I had to almost do more damage to somebody who didn't know what I was doing until I could bring it back to its full glory, you know, as this beautiful New England rock wall. But no, that's so great, dude. I love that analogy. Definition.
And that's where, you know, just to go back to you, Holly, I'm sure you have some highlights on this. The beautiful thing of getting to work with kids is I find that I start to understand God's heart as a father. Like when I have to say no, to a kid, or you have to help them understand something, and the Lord gives you, you know, words of patience, or he helps you break things down into a simple way. I'm like, oh wow, like this is what God does with me.
Yeah.
You know, God isn't coming down on me hard, but even when he has to convict me or tell me something difficult, he does it from a place of love. And so he's with us in that whole process.
So yeah, good.
He meets us right where we're at. I mean, and I've always said, like, if you can't explain something on a kindergarten level, do you really know it?
Amen.
Because that's like the foundation. Mm. That's the basis mm-hmm. of it. And
it's good. Yeah.
Well, it's been really so good having you guys.
Thanks, man. It's been great to be here.
So I hope you guys will come on again.
Yeah.
What are you guys looking forward to for Christmas this year?
Man, I love Christmas.
Time with your family. We're getting our tree today.
Oh,
oh maybe.
Yeah. The tree.
Might have to get the Christmas tree today.
All right. Well, bless you guys. Bless you guys who are listening. And may this be a time of year when we come to understand the peace that Jesus brings, the peace that God wants to have in our life, and that this would be a season of restoration for us as a church, as a family, as individuals. And that you would just cling to the truth that God sent his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you. And if you just accept the message of Jesus, that his death restores you, that it brings all of you, it brings you into a place of blamelessness and mm-hmm. spotlessness, and that God has not left you as an orphan. He has given you his Holy Spirit. He has given you himself.
Yeah.
So we thank you, Jesus, and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we finished the episode recording, and Luke and I were just talking, and we feel like there's one more thing we just wanted to share and encourage you with today, and it's in reference to that peace. And we just watched it, thebibleproject.com, and you type in the word peace, which is shalom in Hebrew, and you can watch a video describing in great detail what that word actually means. It's really incredible. I encourage you to go check it out. But in that, kind of like the reference to the rock wall that I described of myself fixing, it takes work. And I just felt it on my heart to encourage somebody today that if you're in a place where you feel like you've been this wall that was once strong and intentionally built with lots of little pieces and then knocked out of balance, where you're kind of crumbled. And if you're here in New England, you drive a lot of roads and you see a lot of rock walls, and some of them are pristine and some of them are really old and haven't been touched for hundreds of years, and they're falling down and growing trees in them. And I just feel like if you're in that place, I just want to encourage you that if you're that rock wall that you feel like you haven't been touched in a long time, like the Lord is capable of bringing that alignment, that peace, that restorative, complete wholeness peace to you in your life. And if you're also in a place where you feel like you just got backed into by a truck and knocked down, and you just feel like it's getting worse every day, I just want to encourage you that just seek the Lord. And I pray that you would see where the Lord is actually rebuilding your life. If you let him, seek and go for the spotlessness, go for the gold, go for the thing that the author of the scripture is challenging us for, really perfection. Even though we're not perfect, we're humans, but he's calling us to a place to go for it, go for it. And know the Lord is probably rebuilding you. He might have to take some things apart, just like I had to take the wall further apart before I could put it all the way back together again. And, you know, this is a season like Pastor Zach was talking about. This is a season where there's a lot of emotional turmoil for some people, where you have a lot of broken relationships or family drama or issues. And in the holidays, sometimes it's the worst season for us as humans to navigate, because we don't want to be with those people. We don't want to be near the things that have hurt us, the problems and or the reminders of being alone or with people that we don't get along with. And I just want to challenge you, because in the word it says, you know, Jesus was the peace that was sent to us for restoration of all mankind, for healing and redemption of our sins and our brokenness. And I feel like if God could send Jesus, if Jesus would come and be that and do the hard thing to give up everything in heaven to come and be born, you know, out of his own creation, and become a baby and to live a life Certainly we can follow in his footsteps, do the hard thing, because peace isn't always easy. And not to be duped by the thought that, oh, there's a torn down rock wall. The easy, peaceful thing is to just let it lie, not address it, to ignore it. Oh, it's just supposed to be broken down, to walk by it every day and to say, you know what, that was once a really nice rock wall, but now it's just a fallen down antique, old historic rock wall to walk by. No, the hard thing is actually to get your hands dirty, to pull those stones out of place, and then to reposition them from the ground up to create this beautiful rock wall once again. And sometimes I just feel like that might be somebody's life, where you might have to do the hard thing, because if you watch that video, every situation takes work, like Luke was just saying off the air here. And so, Lord, I just pray for each and every person that might be going through that thing this season, or even right now, today, that hard thing that's challenging their hearts, that they'd be able to make amends with family, that they'd be able to forgive someone, or to humble themselves and go repent for something they did wrong, or to, you know what, maybe you don't even think you did something wrong, but somebody's really offended at you and you can't figure out why. The Bible tells us to go to that person and to ask for forgiveness anyway, even if we don't think we did something wrong, even if we think we weren't at blame. And so, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to find that humility and that gentleness to go and to forgive and to be forgiven. Lord, you'd help us get our hands dirty. Give us the wisdom and the understanding to make things right in our lives, so that we can experience that peace, that shalom, that wholeness and that alignment, that restoration in our lives and in our families and in our communities. In Jesus' name, amen.